Hallelujah. I just love the name in the atmosphere. Jesus. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're so good to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for loving us so much to send the gift of Jesus to us. Your only begotten Son, full of the love that you were and are, and imparted it into us and bestowed it upon us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is quickening our mortal body. It's on the inside of us, Father. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the blood of Christ Jesus, Father. Thank you for Jesus. He's been good to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you today with expectation of change. Change is not scary to us anymore. We're sons and daughters of God. Change is always good because Jesus is good to me. Hallelujah. So, Father, we come before you today believing in the goodness of Christ Jesus and the goodness that you are to change us from glory to glory in the image of Christ Jesus, Father. Father, I'm believing that your work that you minister here today will accomplish what you sent it out to do. Father, I believe, we're believers, Father, that your word is working mightily in our life on our behalf for you. Father, I believe that this church, the local church at Living Word in Minden, Father, is having a revelation of how much you're in love with them and how good you are to them. Father, we're going to move in that glory. We're going to change into that glory. We're going to look more like that glory every day, Father. We're going to love like you love because you said as Jesus walked, we could also walk like that. Father, we're going to walk in the love that Jesus walked. Father, I believe these believers, your sons and daughters of God, look more like Jesus every day. Today, when they leave, they'll be touched by your goodness, your glory, and walk out of here changed today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. Thank you so much, praise and worship. Hang on to that one. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. Probably not long. Hallelujah. I'm starting a new series this week. It's called A Miracle in Your Mouth. And the amazing part about it is Pastor Darren is ministering to us in word through the praise and worship, you're going to find out why excited I am over the scripture that he's given us for the series to start. Why? For us to plod through the next year, they're talking about 14 being a double seven. It's going to be an outstanding year in the things of God. Pastor David's already said there's going to be a spiritual shift in finances, ministry, and revelation. I'll take that. I'll take it in all three. Why? Because I believe in God for all of those things. And in a spiritual realm, there's a major shift going on. Why? I serve a winning side. My God is going to win. We are not losing. This church is on the move. The church of Christ Jesus all over the world today, right now, is on the increase and on the move. Glory to God. I am so glad you're here. I am honored to be here with you. It's an amazing thing what God has done to us and how good he's been to us and how far he's brought us. But I'm as excited about our future as I am about my past. If my guy can bring me this far in 20 years, what can he do in the next 20? Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 10. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to start in verse 8. The series is called A Miracle in Your Mouth. Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13, he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amazing part about it, verse 14, he talks about preaching. He says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him or in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Part of the salvation message is somebody spoke it to you. Somebody's told you. The amazing part about this is that's why I love the song, Jesus, You've Been So Good to Me, or about the blood, or about Christ Jesus. Why? Because the word itself saves. Jesus Christ is my Savior. And when I call him my Savior, it allows him to be all aspects of my Savior. Kenneth Copeland says it like this, Jesus is Lord. When you call Jesus, it puts you in a salvation state. Right? So here's what I'm going to say. Watch this. So he says to me, the first thing he says in verse 8, he says, it's right in the edge of your mouth. The way you got in, you had to say Jesus Christ, called him Lord. You could have believed in the heart all you want to, you know, but you had to say it. If you've never said Jesus Christ is Lord of my life or called upon Jesus, to me, all you got to do is call him. Jesus! There's a rescue to that. There's a deliverance to that. I've seen unsaved people holler out Jesus in a moment of, you know, severe tragedy or destruction about to happen, and him show up to rescue them that were not even saved. But the minute he said it, he saved them. So then in verse 9, he says, if thou confess with thy mouth, you're going to have to say, Jesus is Lord. I love you, but you're going to have to say it off your mouth. Somebody's got to hear you say it. You got to have a confession. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. The amazing part about this is most of us, we look at salvation as this is it. The pinnacle of Christianity is our salvation. It's like the opening kickoff. It's just the start. It's what got you into the kingdom. The same way in which you got into the kingdom is the exact same way you'll have to live in the kingdom. You're going to have to believe in your heart and say with your mouth. The amazing part about this is he says confession with the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, in other words, is salvation. In verse 9, he says, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So now he connects your mouth to your heart or your belief. One of the first things faith will do in your life is move your mouth to say something. Pastor, I don't like, you know, God knows what I need. Yes, he does. But in the Scripture it says you must ask. He does love you, and he does know what you need, and he will provide all those things. It's amazing, he says, you're going to have to ask. And to be honest with you, in my life as a Christian that I got started, that was some of the hardest things to do, because what happens is you get of a state of being humble. Because it's not of your own self or your own power, your own ability. You have to move into the dependency of God that you believe in. And most people, a lot of Christians, not in this church because we teach on faith, but a lot of Christians across the nation abroad don't understand the principles of faith where they can believe in their heart and speak with their mouth and have what they say. I'd love to tell you, you know, that we made this up, but I'm going to show you all kinds of scripture where Jesus says this is the way to do it. You know, we get all kinds of nicknames of who we are with a, you know, blab it and grab it, you know, or, you know, the, what are we? We're doers of the Word. We look at the Word, we study the Word to show ourselves approved. We believe the Word of God. We want the Word in our mouth. How did you get saved? You did Romans chapter 10. Somebody ministered the Word of God to you. You accepted it and believed it, and then you did or put the Word in your mouth. What did it say? Those who call upon Jesus shall be saved. You had to call upon Jesus to be saved. So the miracle in your mouth starts with our salvation. It doesn't stop there. It does not stop there. The way we get into the kingdom is by confessing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the way we stay or operate in the kingdom is the same way. Of the principles, I need help from Christ Jesus. I need help from the Holy Ghost. He sent another one just like him through the Spirit to help me along. He will not do it for me. In society today, most people, not in here because we're believers, but most people in society today want somebody to do it for them. The Holy Ghost won't even do it for you. He'll help you. He'll comfort you. He'll counsel you. He'll lead. He'll teach you. He'll show you, but he's not going to do it for you. He's your helper. So in other words, we got to get to the point where I want to be a doer of the Word of God. I want to know what the Word of God says and what I should be speaking. Because if I believe in my heart, the belief or the faith that I have in me will move my mouth. Why, that's how I got in. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, no other name under heaven is given unto men whereby we shall be saved. There is no other name in which we can be saved. None. You know why that song, Jesus is so good to us, ministers to us so much? It's the name. It's your faith in that name. It's you knowing what that name's already done in your life. It's you knowing that you have eternal life. It's knowing that he rescued you. It's knowing that he delivered you. It's knowing that he's protected you. He knows that he made you whole or preserved you. What are you saying? I'm saying Jesus is good to me. When I say that, it's mixed with all kinds of faith in my heart of what Jesus has done for me and will continue to do for me. Salvation is not just boom and it's done. I hang on to the cross till I come back. Watch this. Let me give you a couple definitions of the word salvation to start with, and then I'm going to look at the word saved. So he says, confession is made unto salvation, verse 10. What is salvation? Webster says it like this: the act of saving or protecting from harm, risk, loss, or destruction. That's number one. Number two is the state of being saved or protected from harm, risk, or loss, or destruction. Number three is a source, a cause, or a means of being saved, protected from harm, risk, loss, or destruction. So the Webster says it like this: it's act of saving, which he did on the cross. It's a state of being, which he's in me. Webster's not far off of this. Then he says it's a source or means of cause of protecting me, delivering me, healing me, preserving me, making me whole. In other words, I walk in the act of Jesus. I walk in the state of Jesus. And Jesus is my means, my source, and my cause of me being protected, preserved, made whole, delivered, and healed, prosperous. Jesus is a rescuer and my deliverer. And so, in other words, Webster says, it's three things. In the Greek, the word salvation is S-O-T-E-R-I-A, meaning rescued or delivered, as in an act of last moment, like you're being snatched from the snares of death. It's like right at the very present time you needed the help the most, he rescued you and delivered you just before destruction, loss, or harm came to you. In other words, he pulled you out, delivered you, set you in it. And the word saved, which he says, you call upon his name, you shall be saved, is sozo, S-O-Z-O. It means rescued, delivered, to heal, made whole, well, and preserved. So when I call Jesus, it's not something that died on a cross, although he did. Because what died on the cross was sin, sickness, disease, the curse was dying on the cross. All the bad nature of man was dying on the cross. So when I call Jesus, I'm not got a Jesus on the cross. The cross is empty. It's saturated with his blood that was on it, that buried into the ground and dripped onto the ground and was presented in heaven. Jesus is not on the cross anymore. He had to go there for us. We have to believe in the cross and what he did on the cross. But that's not where he's at. If we believe him as our salvation or our rescue, our deliverer, he cannot be on the cross anymore. He's got to be alive. He's got to be raised from the dead. And so now when I say Jesus, I am operating in the state of already being of the act. See, the act already took place. Everybody in this room, the act is already taking place. For those who have confessed with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, the salvation showed up. Now you're in the state of that salvation. In other words, when I say Jesus is my defense, man, he is. Somebody asked me, somebody was talking, I got all these new stuff popping up, you know, and here's what I told him. I said, man, I have CJTH1. They looked at me and said, what? Yeah, Christ Jesus, the healer, number one. No, that's not what it is. It's kind of this number, and this number. No. It's CJTH1. That's what I have. Pastor, now listen, if you can't do that, then put the word in your mouth. If you serve him, he said he would bless your bread and water and take sickness away from the midst of you. Old Testament. Matthew 8:17 says he bore our sicknesses and our infirmities, and carried him to the cross. That name that they put on that word, F-L-U, is on that cross somewhere. I don't care what name it was. I don't know what they said it was. I don't care what number's on it. Jesus said, I done took it. So if you don't want it, just say, I already have CJTH1. Christ Jesus, the healer, number one in my life. Don't let them tell you you got something if you don't want it. That stuff's straight from the pit of hell. My Lord. So I operate from the act in the state of and by the means or the cause. You with me on that? It's not my means or my cause. It's the name. In the Scriptures, as we go through Luke, one of the amazing part about it, it's a doctor. So I gravitate to the doctor when he goes to talking about healing in particular, because if anybody knew how to do it naturally, surely a doc would know how to do it naturally. So when I go to looking at healing in the Scriptures, I go to Luke a lot of times, and Luke talks about chapter 9 and chapter 10 about the 12 being sent out and then the 70 more being sent out of 80, 82. And he tells them how to go out and pronounce peace over them, heal them, cast out devils. They come back all excited about it. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. He said they were full of great joy, but Jesus set them straight. He said they were so excited that the spirits were subject unto the name of Christ Jesus. They're not born again. They're not sons or daughters of God. They're operating before anyone had been raised from the dead and nobody's been born again yet. They're just people who believe you can use the name Jesus. And they're going out into these cities and the byways by two, and they're pronouncing the name of Jesus. Spirits are leaving, being cast out, and people are getting healed. They come back so excited about what the name is doing in the area. And Jesus says, hold up. He says, wait a minute. I'd like to take the glory of that. I can't. I was actually in heaven when I saw my father kick him out of heaven like a lightning bolt. He hit the ground. So if you want to get excited that my name has authority and power, you might ought to know what Dad did to do that. See, Dad sent him. Dad set that name up. Dad had already taken care of the adversary in heaven, chunked him to the ground. He actually tells him, if you really want to get excited about something, Luke chapter 10, he says, you get excited that your name's written in the book of heaven, of the life of book in heaven. So in other words, he's telling me, if you know you're saved and your name's in the book of life in heaven, that's what ought to get you excited. Jesus is always talking about his daddy. Jesus came in his ministry as the Son of Man on this earth. He was talking about how good daddy was. We sing how good Jesus has been to us, and he has. But if you put that in context of the scripture, remember the rich ruler who asked Jesus, he said, how shall I inherit eternal life? And Jesus, he called him good master. He said, good master, how shall I inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, before he could even answer his question about eternal life, he says, why callest thou me good? For there's only one good, it's God. You may do good. The only reason you do good is because God's doing it through you by the source of the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. If Jesus says, I'm not capable of good without my dad, then me and you will never be able to say anything any less. I cannot or am not capable of my own self of doing anything good. But in Christ Jesus, but through the Holy Ghost, I am capable of doing good. Pastor, give me some scripture on that. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 said how Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Ghost and went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed. Jesus said, the reason I went about doing good was because I was anointed by the Holy Ghost. Now he's put this into me and your ballpark. He didn't say because I was the Son of God in the glorified body. He didn't say because I was the anointed one of God. He said because the Holy Spirit anointed me, Jesus of Nazareth, a man born through a womb. Now the scriptures of where Jesus says, I can walk like he walked, I can do greater works than he did, is not unjust. Because if he comes through as God, and he's always God and never was man, how could God ask me to do what God's doing? I couldn't. But if he comes through a womb of a woman, born of a woman, half man or the son of man, whose father was the Holy Spirit. Now, if he asked me from the man, the son of man, who is anointed by dad or the Holy Ghost, who actually was his father, if he asked me in that, then I have the ability to do the same thing. What? I become joint heirs with Christ. I become an heir to God. I'm his son. I'm not the son, but I am a son. A son or daughter of God, anointed by the Holy Spirit, which is packing the love of God. See, to me, when we go to talking about a miracle in our mouth, we got to know the Word of God. So now, if I'm operating in the state of salvation, at all times, I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm preserved, I'm protected. I say continually and a lot that Jesus is my defense, my high tower, my refuge, my shield, my rearward, my comforter, my aid, my advocate, my captain of my salvation. Call him what he is in the Bible and he'll become that to you. Because Hebrews 11:6 talks about without faith it's impossible to please him. But you must believe that he is. What do you got to believe? What is he to you? This is where you've got to get. And it must come out of your mouth, because the way you got into the kingdom, the way you got snatched from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son was the confession, Jesus Christ is Lord. Now the act has saved you, And now the state of being in that act is preserving you. If you don't believe that, you're not going to get the protection or the defense of Christ Jesus. Why? The Word of God says the just shall live by faith. We shall walk by faith. We ought to be taking every step of every day believing God for something. Pastor, I don't think about Him that often. Work on it. I'm not being kind of serious. I'm serious. I'm the same way, right? I'd like to get to the point where I don't go 5 minutes without remembering Him, thinking about Him, praising Him, saying something, to acknowledging Him, right? I squeeze that baby to 5 minutes, I'm going to go to one. Right? That's what I'm... Squeeze it. I don't know, what do you do? You know, morning prayer, lunch, supper? Squeeze it. And I try to sandwich Him in there a couple times, you know, in between. Extend it a little bit from 1 minute to 3 or 4 minutes. How do I do that, Pastor? Pray and read the Word of God. The Word of God is like mouth to mouth from the Holy Spirit. It's inspired words breathed by the Holy Ghost into mankind. Now listen, this mouth to mouth is a lot different from the mouth to mouth we have on this earth. The mouth to mouth from this earth will raise what is already dying or dead back to life. This mouth to mouth creates total new spirit within you, a total new birth. It's not just saving what was already dying or dead. It's new life. It's spirit and life. Every time you read this, this is spirit and life. I recommend reading it out loud. I recommend letting the words come off your lips, right? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. My Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. This is us. If you're sons and daughters of God, if you're born again, the very thing that was written for you to believe is now set up so that you can speak it. If you looked at Romans chapter 10 a while ago, it says, as the Scripture said. The entire setup of Romans chapter 10, 8 through 13, it says, as the Scripture said. What does the Scripture say? What does the Word of God say? Now He said it was written for our sake. What? To be seen, to be read, to be in the inside of us, to speak it. The amazing part about it, He said, as according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. Every time we get thankful, it bounces back or rebounds toward God in glory form. In other words, when me and you get excited and go to thanking God, it causes glory to arrive. The presence of God shows up. When you go to magnifying God and praising God with your words, Pastor Trey, I thought, man, he's fixing to preach our sermon. Here we go. What? It's got to be in your mouth. Praise has got to be in your mouth, because what's happening when you praise God, you're magnifying God and making little of your problem. He told them to keep their mouth shut until what? Until they could get to Gilgal to see the evidence of God. Here's the evidence of God. If you have no, Pastor, I'm not really good. Go back to your salvation. A lot of people say, I have a hard time believing, you know, in miracles today. Do you believe you're saved? It's the biggest miracle of them all. Jesus showed up in a virgin birth. That's a huge miracle. We just celebrated a season of God's love showing up on this earth to rescue mankind. Now He rescued us for a reason. What is it? To press forward into this kingdom, not looking back. Using our mouth and believing in our heart the things God has written or spoken unto us so that we can say. Watch what He says, though. This is an amazing part. He gets in verse 16. He says, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. One of the first things the spirit of faith does, pays no attention to the outer man. 80, he ain't done. Years left. 80, he ain't done. Huh? Why? Because your inward man's being renewed each day. This thing's not over till he says it's over. You don't get to throw the towel in. Only the coach can do that. And that's when we're finished, done our job, pressed into the things of God, accomplished what God's asked us to do. If you're believing God in your life, the first thing you're going to have to do once you go to believing is let your mouth go to confessing Jesus Christ is your Lord. Once you do that, then you're going to have to believe in the state of being saved. The saddest Christians on the earth today are the ones who are not in the state of being saved. They're the ones who were rescued once, and they're still hung on the bottom of the cross. They're sad and miserable. Most of them have gotten away from God. They've left. They're just hanging on. This life is miserable. It's bad. Listen, I've been there before. And the only time my life was miserable and bad to the point I couldn't handle it anymore is when I was separated from God of my own choice and my own will. Just left Him. Ignored Him. Had nothing to do with the Word of God. Jesus has been good to me. As long as I was hanging on to His hand, as long as I was in His presence, He's not going to chase me down, put an arm bar on me, and drag me back into church, or drag me back into the house, or drag me to some place where He can love on me. He never leaves me nor forsake me. I picture Him kind of like, you know, and Holy Spirit, this is not to be derogatory. It's just an example, okay? So I'm not minimizing the Holy Spirit. He's huge, right? But it's kind of like me in Walmart about two or three paces behind my wife, you know? What are you doing? I'm just there to help her in case she decides she wants something off the shelf, decides she wants to stop, stack something in there, grab something, run and get something. I'm just kind of tagging along to help. What are you saying? You walk off from God and you're saved. Here comes the Holy Spirit. Boy, I wish He'd say something. I wish He'd do something. I wish He'd turn around. I wish He'd go back. Oh, my Lord. Lord, what are we going to do? And He's just talking to this Father, and then he whispers in your ear what the Father said. And you've got your own will and your own direction, and you're wanting to do your thing, and you don't have time for Him. And so He whispers in a soft, small voice of what you're supposed to do. Why don't you go to church today? Ah, man, I've got to go hunting. I've got to go fishing. I got kids coming in. It's holidays, man. I ain't got time for all that. And you just keep trucking on your way, and He keeps tagging along. He just keeps following. He'll never leave you or forsake you if you're saved. And so He just hangs in there with you, but He's praying for you, and He's talking to the Father, and He's telling you what the Father and Jesus are saying about your situation, and He's believing for you. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, love believes all things. So my Savior Jesus believes in you. That's why He died for you. That's why He showed up. He was believing for you. So the Holy Spirit, He's just like Jesus. He's believing in you. Jesus is believing in you. The Father's believing in you. Man, they got a vision for you down the road. It's just gorgeous. It's just huge. It's like, man, this is good. But, you know, you kind of want to do your own thing. You know, you think this is good. This is all right, you know. And you just keep taking off. The Holy Ghost is tagging along right behind you. Man, Father, what are we going to do? Talk to Him about coming back to church. I'll tell you what, I'll send somebody across his path who's a Christian or somebody to talk to him and just mention the word to him and let's see how that goes. And here comes somebody. Holy Ghost is with you, man. He's just hanging out with you. He keeps wanting you to say, Father, I yield to You, not my will, but Your will in my life. Father, Jesus rescued me. I want to walk in the state of being rescued at all times. I want You to be my cause and my means of my rescue. I want You to save and preserve me and make me whole. If you like your pastor, you'll keep doing this. He'll keep tagging along behind you to the point that it's so bad that you drop on your knees in a mess and you know life has wounded you and beat you up. before you finally look up. Don't be like your pastor. Don't be a prodigal son like your pastor. Do it now. If the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, man, do it now. Don't let years and months and days go by where you're just doing your own thing, kind of walking where you want to go. And don't let the Holy Spirit speak or minister to you or bring the preservation of God or the wholeness of God and let Him save you and heal you and rescue you and deliver you. Why don't you just stop what you're doing, change your mind, turn around, look at the Holy Spirit in the Word of God and decide that this is where I've got to be. The miracle in your mouth is the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When you say Jesus, 66 books just showed up. The Word of God just showed up. It was with Him in the beginning. It is Him. When you holler Jesus, the name Jesus is carrying every word that's in here. One word from this book can deliver you, heal you, save you, rescue you. One word from Christ Jesus can change your life. One moment, one second. The devil could have been working on you for years and you decide, I want one touch from Jesus, and your whole thing the devil's been working on for years is messed up by one touch of the love of God. When I call the word Jesus, I picture myself like in an ocean, you know. I'm wore completely out of trying to tread water. Been out there for days, and I'm about to drown in my own stuff, just a mess. And He just reaches down there, grabs me, pulls me in, and goes to loving on me. I picture every time I say Jesus, my rescuer, my deliverer, my healer, my defense. When I speak the word Jesus, it is powerful. I have faith in that name. What separates us from the rest of them? Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to close with this. Had a lot more. We'll just keep. It's a series, so I'm going to hang in here with the series with me, right? Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. He says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Do you realize that the gospel was preached to people and they didn't believe it? They didn't mix it with faith. What are you saying, Pastor? Gospel's been preached to you today. Romans 10, 8 through 13 is the simplicity of the gospel, that Jesus is your Savior. And if you call upon His name, you shall be rescued and stay in that state of rescue and have a means and a cause to keep you in that state. That's simple. There's no other name by which a man should be saved. That only means not only deliverance from hell or the power of darkness and put into the translated into the kingdom of His dear Son or the light, but it also means a state of maintaining you in that kingdom. I don't know what that looks like when I say Jesus is my defense. I don't know if that's a fire team, a squad team, a platoon, or a company. It may be a battalion sometimes. But when I say Jesus is my defense, what I believe is, I don't care how many angels have to show up to do it, how many they have to take care of me. When I speak Jesus is my defense, I believe it. Kind of like Elijah said, "Open the eyes of my servant so he shall see." What was it? There's more that be with us than be with them. You may think your situation is surrounded, bleak, and that you're at the brink of death. But there's more that be with us than be with them. We're on the winning side. Our Christ Jesus has not stopped rescuing us or saving us. Just because you accepted Him or called His name once doesn't mean you don't have to stop doing it daily. You'd be shocked at how many times I say, "Jesus, help," during the day. I thought I said it a lot before I came pastor. Now that I'm pastor, man, it's pumping out like a war. You know, my old well's going up and down like it. It's like, "Jesus, help. Help, Jesus. Glory to God. Jesus, come show me, rescue me, teach me, guide me, light." You know, Jesus, help. He does. Glory to God. So when I call upon the name of Jesus, it carries so much than a name of a son of a man. It carries Christ, the anointed one, in His healing or His anointing. Christ Jesus is huge in my life. He is my life. He's all of my life. Pastor. Glory to God. Pastor, if you'd hit that Jesus is good to me just kind of softly for a minute. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank y'all for being here so much. I think it's a divine appointment. I don't believe you're here by accident. Because after the holidays, a lot of people have a lull and a tendency to sit around like old bears set for hibernation. Thank you for esteeming the Word of God, Christ Jesus. That's why you're here. You didn't come to hear a man's message. You come to hear what the Holy Spirit and what Christ Jesus had to say to you personally today. So if you would just bow your heads for a moment. I want to make sure everyone here is a son or daughter of God. If you've never confessed with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, would you raise your hand? It's that simple to get into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love. All right? I believe in everyone here is sons and daughters of God. My second invitation is you just got away from God. Took off on your own path. Neglected Him, really. Proverbs 13:13 talks about us despising the word. It means like not liking your spinach. It's not that you don't believe it. It's just nothing to do with it. You don't want to partake of it. You don't want to swallow it. You don't want it to get on the inside of you. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand where you're at. If you know that you've been doing your own will and heading in the direction, you want the Holy Spirit. I see your hands. Hallelujah. You can put them down. The last invitation I want to speak about is you've accepted Christ Jesus. You call Him Lord of your life. You're a son and daughter of God. And you believe that Jesus saved you. But you're dealing with things where you're not whole. You're not preserved. You're not well. Because the Word of God says, Jesus says, if you call upon His name, He shall save you. In other words, sickness or disease. Anything in your body that's not causing you to be whole, complete, preserved. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I see your hand. Would everyone stand to their feet? And if you raise your hand for any of that, would you come down front? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, here's what I'm going to say to the ones up front. All of you said that you're sons and daughters of God. There's nobody raised their hand for salvation. So all of us believe we're saved. Sons and daughters of God. So we're either coming back or we want to get right with God and be close to Him again and not ever leave Him again. Let Him be a major part of our life. Or the other part is to be made whole, healed, set free, delivered. So I'd love to say, you know, your pastor's got a big part in this. I don't. I can't heal you. I can't save you. I can't preserve you. I can't change your life. Jesus. So when I get before you, in front of you, all I want you to do is say, if we call upon the name of Jesus, He'll show up. Jesus will show up. And what I believe in God for is when he shows up this time because of the revelation you have in the name of Jesus, you're going to operate in the state of Jesus. Not only did the act save you, but the state of it preserves you, heals you, restores you. The state is being with him at all times in a wholeness, in a renewedness, that you and him are brothers and sisters, and your daughters of God or sons of God, and that you're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. The state is glorious and good. Jesus is good. So when I get to you, all I'm going to do, if the Holy Spirit gives me something, I'll pray over you. If not, when I get to you, I just want you to speak Jesus. And then we'll let the Holy Spirit do the rest. But you be believing what you're believing for, that Jesus is going to show up and do exactly what you believe he's going to do. He's going to rescue you, deliver you, set you free, change your life, call you along beside him when you never leave him again. Do what he asks you to do. You believe that with me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory.